Well, praise God. I'm glad to be here this morning. And as Matt said, we are part of this family. We've been here for 6 years. We've served in youth. We've served wherever they've asked us to serve, because that's what we're all here for. Yeah. Amen. Jesus Christ was a servant. Yeah. That's what he called us to do. So it's always good to come into a church and not just always want to receive, you know. You receive the word, you receive direction, all those other things, but you always want to be able to give back. And you know, if you don't know where you feel comfortable, just come talk to us. We'll find a place to put you, because there's a lot of places that we need people. Amen? Well, first off, I'd like to thank Pastor JR. I know he's not here, but I don't take it very lightly at all that he asked me to do this service. I consider it an honor and a privilege, and I want you guys to know that you guys have a pastor who really, really loves you and really, really is concerned for you, because give him a hand, because he takes it very serious. He just doesn't let anybody get in the pulpit. You know why? Because he's responsible for you, right? He's going to have to, someday when he goes into eternity, he's going to have to answer for this church. And that's why sometimes he makes the decisions he makes, because he loves you. May not be what you want, may not be what you like, but it's what's in your best interest. And that's the heart of a pastor, and that's the heart that Pastor Matt has too. So give him a hand. You guys have some great pastors here. Well, we started last week, Neighboring, week one. And I'll touch on a few notes just to review, and then we'll get started on today's message. So last week, we talked about neighboring and what it means to have the heart of a neighbor. We talked about being in proximity, evaluating the treatment of the people, being close to the people around you, being close to the people in your neighborhood, being a giver. We studied the Good Samaritan and what he saw and what he did. And it was like Pastor Matt said earlier, he was a giver. When everybody else chose to do something else, he chose to deny himself and help somebody else, because that's what givers do, and that's what the Good Samaritan does. And that's what it means to be a good neighbor, you know? It's not State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. No, it's like a good neighbor, the Samaritan was there, amen? So then we talked about being a friend is more than just having likes or being a friend on Facebook. See, in this society, the friendship is going out the window. See, one of the things the enemy does is he likes to take the value out of things. See, that's one of his tactics. And he's real good at doing that, because you know what he does? He takes time. See, he goes from a friendship to an acquaintance to now I just like you. Like. Don't like. Unlike. See? He takes the meaning out of the word friendship, because Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. See, that's what it means to be a friend. A friend is somebody who was there in the midnight hour when joy comes. The Apostle Paul, he was in prison with Silas. And it said that they were singing praises to God. And late in the midnight hour is when God showed up. See, that's a friend. Someone who's going to be there in the bad times. Someone who's going to be there to tell you, hey, you need to straighten up. See, that's a friend. And that's what great people do. That's why it's important to have a neighborhood, to have a community. That's what we need, is a community. What does that mean? That means we got to do things together. And that's the title of this message, together. Because we got to have a community of people in here so we can take it to our community out there. Yeah, that's where we're headed with this. Together is what we want. I got to be there for you, and you got to be there for me. Because that's what this is all about. It's all about people. Amen? Well, let's open up our Bible to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read a scripture, and we'll get started. Acts 2, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. You guys got there quick? You cheaters. cheating. All right, well, Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 says this, and in the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Amen. Now you have to understand what happened before this. So you can just leave that scripture up, but I'm going to let you know, when Jesus ascended on high in Acts chapter 1, he told them some things, and this is what he told them. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he goes on to tell them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus tells them this, and he ascends. And so what the disciples end up doing in Acts is it says, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives after Jesus had gone up on the Sabbath day. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Zebedee, Simon Zebedee, all these people were there. These all they all continued in one accord. One accord, what does that mean? Together. They all continued together. If you read another translation, it says they all continued together. Women were there, everybody was there. And then the day of Pentecost comes and they were in one accord. So you have to be together, together. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We all have to be of like mind. See, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were focused on one goal: Jesus sending his Holy Spirit down. See, they were in the right place at the right time. They were in the right place on purpose and for a purpose. See, we're here on purpose and for a purpose. We're not here by accident. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost arrived. They were all there together in one place. We're doing these messages because we have to understand that we have to be together, together. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and look into your word, to come and grow and get closer to you, to understand more of what you want from us, what you expect from us. I thank you, Father, for each and every person here, that they have ears to hear, and that the word that comes forth won't be my words, but they'll be your words. And they'll cause us to increase in knowledge and increase in everything that you want us to get. I thank you, Lord, that we won't leave the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let me give you a little history lesson. There's 7.4 billion people on the planet, give or take. Amen. There's 3.2 million people in the United States. There's 2 million people in the state of New Mexico. There's 675,000 people in Bernalillo County. And there's 560,000 people in Albuquerque. There's about 80,000 people in this surrounding area of this church. 80,000, that's a lot. You're one of 300 and 350 people that call Family Church their home. Amen. Praise God for that. You're one of 300 and 350. You're here on purpose and for a purpose. None of you came in here this morning on accident. I firmly believe that. You're here to receive something from God. You came with a purpose, and you'll have a purpose when you leave. See, if you think about when God created the world, he created three types of people. Number one, he created the nations. We say the nations. There's 194 nations in the world today, give or take, depending on what kind of war is going on. The Bible calls them the Goyi, the G-O-Y. God created the Goyi, the nations. 194 nations. Out of all those nations, he called one nation, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Those are his chosen people. He has a covenant with them. So out of the Goyi, the 194, he picked the Jewish nation, his people. And then he called a third type of people. Anybody guess what that third type is? Well, they met in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. He called the church. We are the church. So you have the nations, you have the nation of Israel, and then you have us, the church. We have been called by God to fulfill something in this world today. So out of the Goyi, he called the Jews, then he called us the new creation. That's us. He called the new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That means if you've said the sinner's prayer, you're part of this new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new because you have a purpose. We just studied Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, it said that out of the two, he made one. Amen. It said out of the two, he tore down the middle wall of partition and he created one between the Jew and the Gentile. And that's us. We are the church. Amen. Amen. The Bible calls the church the ecclesia. That's the Greek word for church. E-K-L-E-S-S-I-A. It's the ecclesia. We derive our Spanish word iglesia from ecclesia. That means the church. That's us. We are the called out ones. Look to the person to your left and say, you're the church. Look to the person on your right and say, I'm the church. See, the church isn't this building. The church wasn't the upper room. The church is the people. We're the chosen people. We have a covenant with God, and we have his word, and we have all his promises that can help us navigate through life, and we have to do it together, together, because we are the church. What is the ecclesia? What does the church mean? Well, it means to be called out of and separated unto. Ecclesia means to be called out of and separated unto. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 9 that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness and delivered us into his marvelous light. See, you were called out of darkness and you're called into his marvelous light, the church. Amen. Don't take it lightly and don't take it for granted that we're the church. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of the church. You know that? It is. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to him he gave the right, the honor, and the privilege to be called the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. You see, sometimes we take things so temporal, you know, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, day after day, year after year, month over month, and we don't really see the importance of being part of the church. I've said this before from this pulpit, and I say it a lot because Pastor JR has said this to us. We need to have an eternity mindset. You need to think with eternity in mind. See, because what you have to understand is what happened for us, he gave us the right, the honor, and the privilege to become the sons and daughters of God. He paid a heavy price to bring us out of darkness and bring us into light. Why? So that we could do things together. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you can clap if you want it. Either way, quiet, clap, loud, don't matter to me. I'm going to preach. I'm not lying. If you want to clap, clap. If you sit there. I've preached to one before, and that was my mom. She'd show up on a Wednesday night, and Pastor Jeff would say, you know, well, you're going to go? There's nobody here. He says, well, what if somebody walks in? And I knew who he was talking about, because my mom runs about 15 minutes late. So he said, well, if you wait till she comes to start, we're going to end 15 minutes late. So I'd get up, and I'd preach to the chairs. So it doesn't matter to me. Praise God. You do what you're called to do, regardless of who's around. You do what you're called to do, regardless who's next to you, who's with you, or what it's supposed to be. You go and you do what God has asked you to do. So we can't take it lightly that we're the church. And I've said this before. You have to understand this. All of eternity looks at you and they say, they are the church. They are the ones that God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, paid the heaviest price, paid the ultimate price to bring them in. See, because when we couldn't go up there, he came down here so that he could make a way for us to end up there in eternity. All of eternity looks at you and you says, that's them. They say, there's the nations, there's the goyi, there's the Jewish people, and then there's them, the church. The one that God himself created and made a way to come home. He didn't do that for anybody else. He did it for us. He did it for all of us, each and every one of us. Don't take it lightly that you're the church. You got to understand something. You weren't redeemed with anything like silver or gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as if a lamb without spot or blemish or any such thing. See? That's how valuable you are to him. And in order to understand that we have to do it together, you got to see how valuable you are. And that's what I'm establishing right now, is that you are valuable to your Father God. He paid the ultimate price. He didn't get you cheap. He didn't get you on Blue Light Special. He didn't get you from the dollar store. He didn't get you from anywhere like that. He sent his son. He paid the ultimate price to bring you in. So you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish or any such thing. There was a price that was paid. A great price was paid to bring you in. And when you start understanding the price that was paid for you and the value that you have, you start to see and understand the value that other people have. See, you got to believe it first. Don't ever let somebody tell you you're not valuable. How valuable am I? I'm valuable. I wasn't bought with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so were you. If it had been just for you, guess what? He would have done it. You need to look at yourself sometimes, and when you start to beat yourself up, you need to understand and start seeing yourself how God sees you. You're very valuable. And you're here on purpose and for a purpose. When you start to understand how valuable you are, and understand the price that was paid, you'll start to lift up a standard in your life. You'll start to lift up things and not do things that you shouldn't do. Young people, when you start to understand how valuable you are, you won't sell yourself short to sin and promiscuity or any of these other things that the world throws at you. You'll have a value on the inside of you that when you decide to find somebody else, the person that God has for your life, you'll make sure that they value you and they treat you the same way that your Father God does, because that's the standard. In our families, when we understand how valuable a family is to God, we'll start to treat our family different. Husbands start to treat their wives different. We start to understand the price that was paid and how valuable we are. 7 billion people in the world. 300 million in the U.S. 2 million in here in New Mexico. And you're one of 300 and 350. You're not here on accident. We're all called to be here. See, I was taught something at a very young age when I was born again. Pastor Jeff used to always tell me, you don't go where you choose, you go where you're called. Right. Amen. You don't go where you choose, you go where you're called. And that means if you go where you're called, you, no matter what's going on around you, no matter who quits the church, who comes to church, what color the paint is, whether they take the carpet out, you know that God has called you there, so you're going to stay there. Amen. Amen. Be very easy for us to take every other Sunday off, be honest. That's my wife. We drive to Deming one Sunday, and the next Sunday we're here. We drive to Cruces one Sunday, next Sunday we're here. Be very easy to take a Sunday off. But you know what? I told Pastor JR 6 years ago when I told Pastor Matt too, when I met with him at a little restaurant we went to, I said, I feel like we're called to this church. And we're called to help my uncle. So guess what? We don't have a choice. Settled. Just like as a parent, you don't have a choice to raise a child in the way that they should go. That way they don't depart when they're old. See? You don't have a choice. You have a responsibility. Amen. You don't get to choose where you go, but you go where you're called. Just like you can't choose your family. You can choose to fellowship with them. Hey, that's funny, huh? Yeah, right? We all can laugh at that one. You can't choose your family. Yeah, we would like to. I'll take him. He's cool. I want him as my brother. It's my sister right there. That dude, that's my dad. Let me see. What dad would I like to have? Jake Duell's pretty cool. Let's have Jake Duell. I'll take Jake Duell. It's not like the NBA All-Star Draft. Let me see. I'll take... who's left? No, I guess not. No, you don't get to choose your family. You're born in it. You're born into a family. And see, from the moment you got born again, God Almighty has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he set forth the church family you're supposed to be a part of. Yeah. He set that on its path. Why? Because that family is where you're supposed to grow. That family is where you learn to live. That family is the one that's going to bring correction. That family is going to give you exactly what you need. See, one of the biggest things Satan did was he destroyed the family. Family's a mess. Family's a mess. I'll be the first one. I'm not telling you your family is. My family's a mess. And if my mom were here, she would be putting up her hand too. See, families are a mess when they're left alone. But see, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and all his accomplished work, our family has come back together. And even though everybody's not serving God, a lot of us are. And it's not perfect. No family's perfect, but that's where Jesus comes in to fill in the gaps. No church is perfect. That's why we need to be together. That's why it's important to go to small groups. That's why it's important to fellowship with everybody, because they have things that you need and you have things that they need. The enemy destroyed the family because he knew if he destroyed the family, he would destroy the church. Yeah. Churches are all broken up just like families. People don't know anything about commitment because it's so easy nowadays, because you come from a broken family, to have no real commitment to a spiritual family. Together. I think about my family growing up. They all worked for Silva Sanitation, which was a garbage company, and two of my uncles worked there. My aunt worked there. My mom worked there. My dad worked there. My grandpa worked there, and he was the boss. And imagine, it's hard enough to just live with family. Imagine you all work together. 50 hours a week. And then me and my brother were there when we were little, throwing trash, making trash cans. And you know what? I used to see my uncle and my grandfather get in screaming matches at each other, yelling at each other, cussing at each other, just being so mad at each other. But guess what? When 12 o'clock came, they all went to the same restaurant, and it was called my grandma's house. Yeah, they did. It was in Mesquite, New Mexico, and if you look up Mesquite, New Mexico, at that time it was a town of about 400 or 500 people that had a gas station and a liquor store, and that's it. So the only restaurant in town was grandma's house. And guess what? No matter what differences they had that morning, at 12, when they locked the door to go home, go eat, they all sat at the same table and they all ate together, and they didn't carry any grudge, because they understand that there was a greater purpose and a greater plan. And see, that's what God wants us to understand. There's a greater purpose and there's a greater plan. And that plan is called getting people into the kingdom of God. It's called honoring God and making disciples. That's the ultimate plan. That's the big picture. So no matter what happens, we all need to be able to come back and sit at the same table and say, no matter what our disagreements are, we're called to be here. I love you. I want you to succeed. And I know you want me to succeed. Together is how you make it happen. Amen. Well, three ways. What does together look like? Number one, you have to be like-minded. God's word and will supersede my will and my thoughts. Because we all have our own will and our own thoughts. And see, we say like-minded because we don't all have to look alike. Hence, I'm the only one in a suit. Oh, two people in a suit. Second service, I might be the only one. And it's not because I'm up here preaching. I always wear a suit. Pastor Matt will see me during the week and have a suit on. And that's fine. We're not all supposed to look alike. But we are all supposed to be like-minded. See, we have to have the same thought. We have to understand the same goal. In the book of Acts, he said, tarry and wait until I send the Holy Spirit. They were all like-minded. We're going there because God's going to send something that we need. And we're going to sit there and we're going to be in one accord. We're going to be together until it comes. God's word and will supersede my will and my thoughts. Why? That's why small groups are important. That's why coming to church is important. Why? Romans 12:1. It's a reasonable sacrifice. It should be not conformed to this world, but should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Our thoughts are our own thoughts. But if we start getting our thoughts to line up with God's word and the vision that this house has. See, this house has a vision. Honor God, make disciples. And we have somebody who's leading that vision. That's Pastor JR. That's Pastor Matt. And that's the leaders and everybody who serves. See, we follow that vision because we have something to do in this community. On here, on purpose, and for a purpose. See, God knows exactly what you need and where you can get it from. Sadly, today in America, and I say America because the American church is very different than churches overseas. Today in America, it's sad, but we choose church like we choose fast food restaurants. We do. That's why I said you don't get to choose where you go. You go where you're called. We choose church like we choose restaurants. We only stay or go back if we like the service or we like the food. That's how we choose churches in America. If we like the service, I mean, I love the music, I like the ambiance, it has these really cool chairs. And then if we like the food, I love the way that place looks, but man, that preacher, he don't know nothing. I hope they never let Matt get back up because... Yeah, choose church, we choose restaurants. And we only tip. We only tip if we like both. That's exactly where I went. I'll tell you where I'm going. Put your feet out like this. I'm about to step on toes, that's where I'm going. Maybe I already have, but praise God, we're here on purpose and for a purpose. See, when you become like-minded, it leads to something else. It leads to becoming like-hearted. Next slide. We become united in heart. You begin to have love for God and love for one another. God's love, the sacrificial love. That's why I spent a little bit of the first part of this service talking about how valuable you are. Because when you begin to see the value that you have, it's easy for you to see the love and that God has for other people and the value that other people have. That's why it's important that you understand how valuable you are, because then you understand how valuable your brothers and sisters are, and that's together, together. See, I tell you things not because I want to. You know, you think I really wanted to get up here and preach? Honestly, ask my wife. I'm a wreck. Weeks before the week I have to preach, I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, she's like, suck it up. See, but you do what you're called to do. It's not fun to get up and tell somebody, hey, you know, you choose church the way you choose a restaurant. That's not. But you do it because you know it's what people need. See, love Pastor Matt, one of my favorite people in the world. And we don't even look alike. No matter how much I try, he won't wear a suit. I asked him before. And no matter how hard he tries, I'm not going to dress like that and get up here or go to work like that. But see, I know he loves me. So I know if I start to get out of line, has nothing to do with I've been saved for 20 years, has nothing to do with I preach, has nothing to do with anything like that. If I get out of line, I know Pastor Matt will come to me and get me back in line because he loves me. See, and that's what family church is about. That's what your family is. They tell you things because they love you and they want to see you succeed and they want you to continue on. So you got to be united in heart. We just went through the series in Ephesians, and if you look in Ephesians 4, you know, it talks about he gave gifts unto men. And it says pastor, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and then it says, and he distributed gifts unto men for the equipping of the saints so that they could do the work of the ministry. You guys are the saints. Pastor, preacher, teacher, all of them, they're there to equip you to do the work. And it says every joint fitly combined in the body. Why? Because the body doesn't look alike. Hands, fingers, toes, we all look different. Hands, fingers, toes, all this other stuff, we all look different. But what's the same? The same heart. See, we understand the same heart. We understand we each have a part to play. And you understand that, you know what? I don't care if I'm not the hand. Maybe I'll just be the toe. Maybe I'll just be the knee. And as I've gotten younger in age, I start to understand how important the joints are in your body. Right? Yeah. Who can, yeah, right? Yeah, Lord blessed us, and just amazing, Lord blessed us with a new home. And it's a two-story home. And I was walking down the stairs the other day, and I said, uh-oh. I said, I better start praying for some healing, because you know what? I don't know how much longer I'll be able to go up and down these steps. My chihuahua looked up at me and thought the same thing, because she's pretty old. We're all one body. Every part doesn't look alike, but every part is just as important as the next. And see, you don't get jealous when you understand how much God loves you, that you don't get to get up and preach, or that you don't get to work at the cafe, or that you don't get to run the sound. You go where God places you and where the pastor leads you. It's called submission. We submit to him. So you go from being like-minded to having united in heart, and then you become a community. See, you become a community. A common unity. Common unity. Honor God, make disciples. What does that tie into? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the ultimate goal. That's what we're here for. That's it. Only when I was saying earlier how valuable you are, you got to get something else. You got to understand something else. The only thing that's going to heaven is people. That's it. I watched some stupid show. I watch a lot of stupid shows, by the way. But I watched some stupid show, and it was funny. I was watching it because it's called Fear Thy Neighbor. Anybody seen that show? No? It's a show called Fear Thy Neighbor. And the show is about real stories of neighbors that have feuded. And you know how it usually ends up? One of them shoots at the other one. Yeah, It's not funny because some of these people die. Fear thy neighbor. And it all starts with, I watched one of them and it started because the neighbor got mad because the barbecue stuff was going in his yard and he didn't like that. And that feud led to three people getting killed and the other guy in jail. And guess what? Now neither one of them lives in those homes. Well, guess what? When you go to heaven, everything you've collected stays here. The only thing that's going to go to heaven is people. That's it. You have to be heavenly minded. We have to be there, a common unity. We need to see the full picture. We're all a piece of that picture. Read through the book of Acts. Every one of them had a purpose and a plan. See, when a group of people get together and they become a community, they can have a movement. And if you look at the world today, there are tons of movements out there. I was just looking at some of the movements that have failed. And you know, one of the reasons why movements fail is because people get their own agenda or they have no clear vision. See, they have no clear vision. Honor God, make disciples, clear vision. Go ye into all the world, make disciples, preaching the gospel, clear vision. Well, then the agenda, people getting their own agenda is why movements stop. My own agenda. Well, I want to do it this way. No. Let's just do it the way the leader directs us to do it. Some of the failed movements that are funny that have happened over the last 20 years, there was a movement called the 9/11 Truth Movement. And that movement was to prove that what happened on 9/11 was an inside job. Didn't go very far. Why? Who knows? There was in the mid-80s, there was a movement called the Slow Food Movement. Anybody remember the Slow Food Movement from 1986? Back there, one person. You know what that was? You know why only one person remembers it? Because the movement didn't make it anywhere. You know what that movement was against? Fast food. That was a movement against fast food and fast food restaurants because it was going to destroy America. And maybe, who knows? Maybe unhealthy, I don't know. But that movement didn't go anywhere. In the early 90s, this is a good one. There was a movement called the Anti-Technology Movement. How many iPads we got out there? Yeah, that movement succeeded. See? Movements that have no clear vision or people with their own agendas fail. But the most influential and powerful movements are because people forget about self and give up what they want for the greater cause. What's going to benefit people the most? Some of the most effective movements in our country were because people were willing to give up self. Civil rights movement. Still, today, we're benefiting because of that. Because people were willing to put aside their own agenda for the greater cause of everybody else. And to be in unity. The women's rights movement. The abolition of slavery movement. All of these movements cost something. And they all cost people. Lives. The American Revolution. 1776. We're all here because 13 colonies had a greater vision. And wanted something better. And they all banded together, and they put aside selfishness. They put aside their own agenda to get independence from the king. You know, it said that when they signed the Declaration of Independence, after they had the final signature, a great silence came over them, and they prayed. They prayed. And you could hear some men weeping. Why? Because they understood the magnitude of what they had just done. They had cut themselves off from England, and whether it was going to cost them land, money, or even their own lives, or the lives of their sons and husbands, they were going to do it anyway. They understood the magnitude of what they were doing, but the greater cause was bigger than their own agenda. Our cause is way greater than our agenda. Most successful sports teams understand that the we is greater than the me. It's so important because people's lives are at stake. Why do we want to be together, together? Because when you're together, together, God commands a blessing on that. Next scripture. Next slide. Psalm 133:1 says this, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing and life forevermore." See, when we're together, there's a blessing that comes with it. Amen. And you accomplish God's will. Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it will be worth it. And isn't it a blessing to go through something in life with somebody else than by yourself? Amen. It's always better to have somebody there. It's so important to go where God leads you because that's where your family is. You're so blessed to not have to go through some of these things alone. There are some things that do threaten together. I talked about having your own agenda and not having a vision. But there are two things that will threaten us accomplishing what we need to accomplish. The first thing is this, the spirit of independence. I have to be my own and do my own thing. See, I said it a second ago, it's all right to be independent. We don't look alike, we don't act alike, but we have to be like-minded, like heart, and like vision. But the spirit of independence is I want to do my own thing. I want to have self-expression. You drive for your personal identity and your personal wants more than anything. And what you're actually doing is you're actually making yourself to be alone. This happens in the church all the time. I've been saved for a long time. This church, that church. Now I don't go to church. And guess what? You end up alone. And there's no blessing in being alone. Because now you're doing everything on your own. The impact of wanting your own way and doing your own thing is that it keeps you from seeing what's important. When you're doing your own thing, you don't see what's important. But better yet, you don't want what's important. And in the end, you won't do what's important. The Good Samaritan, he saw, he wanted, and he did for that person. The other two people didn't. We're not called to be alone. We just got done doing the series on Ephesians. And what was it called? Masterpiece, right? Masterpiece. We didn't do that on accident. We wanted you guys to understand that you're a masterpiece. That God sees you as a masterpiece, his masterpiece. And on top of being a masterpiece, go to the next slide. You're a master's piece in the puzzle that this family has to do. See? You're the master's piece. Just like a puzzle, all jointly fit together. We're all a piece of the big picture. And the only way the picture looks right is if you're in place. We put these things together at Christmas, these little ornaments that were 3D puzzles. Needless to say, I finished mine, but the picture didn't look anything like it was supposed to because I forced pieces where they shouldn't go. See? Master's piece. We all have a part in the puzzle. We're our own masterpiece. And because we're a masterpiece that God has made us, we're a master's piece in this house. Amen. The second thing that will really damage or cause us not to fulfill what we need to do is the spirit of uniformity. When a community demands sameness and rejects two things, don't go to the next one yet, stay here. Spirit of uniformity. When we want everybody to look the same, act the same, talk the same, be the same. If I had a church full of people dressed like me, talk like me, walk like me, I'd be the first one to leave. Seriously. If I had a church full of accountants, oh my goodness. See? When we all think that everybody has to be the same. Pastor Matt don't look alike. Me, Pastor Matt, Sean, Pastor JR. We were having lunch, me, Pastor Matt, and JR one day. And the waiter kept looking at us. And I just kept thinking, I wonder what this waiter's thinking. And as we left, you know, I'm in a suit. Pastor JR is, you know, his jefe. Just looks smooth, you know, just as who he is. You know, he's just always, like, nice and just looks, you know, real cool. And Matt, you know, Matt looks how Matt looks. Matt was like, oh. Yep. And so we were getting ready to pay, and we were leaving, and we were walking out. We got out to the street, and I looked, and I could notice a couple of the waiters, like, talking. And I thought, I wonder what they're thinking about. not that what they probably think is, he's the talent, probably some YouTube star. Pastor JR is his manager because he lives in a Hispanic community and they're probably trying to, and they said, and that guy's the lawyer to make sure that none of them get in trouble. When you have a spirit of uniformity, it rejects two things: creativity and progress. When we want everybody to be exactly the same, or we want church to always be the same, it rejects creativity and progress. Now, what I'm saying is it doesn't mean you conform to the world. It means when you're likeness and spirit and mind, you can have creativity and you can have progress because you understand the ultimate goal, and that's getting people to heaven and growing people. Well, I quit going to that church because they started using smoke. Well, I'm glad you're going to let smoke keep you from getting what God has for you. It damages creativity and it damages progress. You have to understand we live in a progressive world. Those people who did the movement against technology, they didn't understand that. So we have to be changing. See, it's not about changing on the outside. It's about changing on the inside. See, we have to be of uniformity on the inside. Doesn't matter the outside. Creativity and progress, you can't stymie those two things. See, we have to be open to the new generation. We have to be open to the next generation. Why? Because those are the people we got to reach, and those are the people we got to educate. And if we close ourselves off, then we have nothing. Yep. So you have these two things on each side of the spectrum. Spirit of independence, I want to do and be my own thing. Spirit of uniformity on this side. But you got to find the middle road. Can't be completely independent. Can't be completely uniformed. The uniformity starts and ends with this right here. That we're all of the same on the inside and of the same mind. But the independence can be on the outside. Because you're going to go see people I'm not going to see. And I'm going to go see people you're not going to see. And they're going to relate to you. And these other ones are going to relate to me. And what we have to give them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do we do it? Together. We don't try and change each other externally, but we help grow each other internally. Together means has nothing to do with the exterior, but everything to do with the interior, the heart and the mind. You leave here today, you have choices to make. Every time you leave church, every time you read the Bible, every time God speaks to you, you have the choice to make. Am I going to grow closer to Him, or am I going to grow further from Him? Together means we're family through the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we understand this, that the ultimate goal is to reach this community for Him and to be great neighbors to everybody around here in this neighborhood and in the neighborhoods we live in. Some of the strongest people, some of the strongest families in this country today are families that stayed together through adversity to accomplish the greater goal. Everybody stand up. I want you to take the hand of the person to the left and the hand of the person to the right. Across the aisles. I want you guys to know that we're in this together. Together, let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, I thank you for each and every person here. And I thank you, Lord, that we begin to see the full picture. We begin to understand the value that we have to you. And as we understand our value, we understand the value of those around us, Father. I thank you for a spirit of unity, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, compassion for the lost, hunger for your word, hunger to do your will. I thank you, Lord, that we are not just here gathering on a Sunday every Sunday, but that we begin to see the person that we're holding the hands with as our family, and that we can strengthen each other so that we can strengthen your kingdom and we can reach this community for you. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.